Born in the pandemic era, thriving in the Zoom era, it's Resonance Rewind.
The year 2517. After the Earth was used up, we found a new solar system, and hundreds of new Earths were terraformed and colonized. The central planets forming the Alliance had decided all the planets had to join under their rule. There was some disagreement on that point. After the war, many of the independents who had fought and lost drifted to the edges of the system, far from Alliance control. Out here, people struggle to get by with the most basic technologies. A ship would bring you work. A gun would help you keep it. A captain's goal was simple. Find a crew. Find a job. Keep flying. All key aspects of the next Resonance Rewind.
The Alliance said they were going to waltz through Serenity Valley, and we choked them with those words. We've done the impossible, and that makes us mighty. Just a little while longer, our angels are going to be soaring overhead, raining fire on those arrogant gods. So you hold.
You hold! Go!
What were you in the war? A big war you failed to win. You were Sergeant, yeah? Sergeant Malcolm Reynolds. Balls and Bayonets Brigade. Big, tough veteran. Now you got yourself a ship and you're a captain. Only I think you're still a sergeant, see? Still a soldier. Man of honor in a den of thieves.
I do the job. And then I get paid.
Go run your little world.
No matter how long the arm of the Alliance might get, we'll just get ourselves a little further. Small crew, they must feel the need to be free, take jobs as they come.
She still has the advantage over us.
Everyone always does. That's what makes us special. Tell you, Zoe, we get a mechanic, get her up and running again, hire a good pilot, live like real people. You never have to be under the heel of nobody ever again.
You ever sailed in a Firefly?
No.
I mostly keep to myself, but I'm not Corey.
Because what this marriage needs is one more shouting match.
No, what this marriage needs is one less husband.
Take us out of the world, Wash. Got us some crying to be done.
Mal, this is Simon.
You seem so young to be a doctor.
Simon Tam. We're bound by law to stand down.
This is my sister. The government was playing with her brain. I don't know if she'll be all right. I don't know what they did to her.
I get confused.
Or why. I just have to keep her safe.
We're looking for a girl. This girl.
I think she's a reader.
Psychic?
Control. Can't be trusted.
Everyone could just go on without me and not have to worry.
I'll be your bounty, Jubilee.
And I'll just fade away.
Now!
What is it that makes you so afraid of the Alliance?
Is that why you let us stay? So you could use us as bargaining chips? Oh.
They are not taking her and you are not giving her to them.
We lose this ground, we lose it all. You're going to hold this ground.
You turn on any of my crew, you turn on me.
The power of the universe can stop me.
I'm still flying.
That's not much.
It's enough.
Take the sky from me.
serenity. But you can't take the sky from me. Take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. But you can't take the sky from me.
They Can't Take the Sky from Me. Lyrics, in fact, by Joss Whedon, because he also composed the song as well from this side of things. And so we actually head into another edition of Resonance Rewind. We've had the trailer from, of course, the pilot episode of Firefly there. And, of course, season one kicked off with that, after which, of course, we had the train job. So we might be considering 1.5 episodes of this particular aspect, or maybe 2. But we'll just wait and see. Jenny Bill, we're coming to you because you're the only person who's actually on the ship so far. So what are your thoughts on this particular Joss Whedon number?
Well, actually, I think we watched 3 episodes, because I watched the original pilot, which was, I guess, 2 episodes, 1.5 hours, and then I watched the 3rd episode. So I've heard of Firefly. I have to admit, I knew absolutely nothing about it, so I did read up beforehand, and I was quite intrigued because I absolutely love Westerns, and I really like the idea that this incorporated sci-fi, which I also absolutely love, the Western, and I have to say I absolutely loved it. And it was kind of weird because I've forgotten his name now, but the lead character, I've only ever seen him playing Castle. And so I was like, oh my God, it's Castle. Although, because he looks much younger and slimmer here. But then once it got going, I actually totally forgot that he was Castle. He did become a different persona. So, yeah. And I loved the music. I liked the music at the end and at the beginning and the bits throughout. And I thoroughly enjoyed it, actually.
Okay, good stuff there. Nathan Fillion getting a good name check there, of course, portraying Mal Reynolds, the captain who, of course, we first see actually losing the Civil War, that's taking place in space, that was created, of course, that took place in the year 2517 after the arrival of humans in the new star system. The adventures, of course, of the renegade crew of Serenity, a Firefly-class spaceship, was at the heart of this whole piece. And as Joss Whedon actually said, nothing will change in the future. Technology will advance, but we will still have the same political, moral, and ethical problems as today. Kathy Manso, this clearly in Joss Whedon's career was after the success of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, and to a certain extent Dollhouse. It was his least successful TV series. It was before his star rose again thanks to the Marvel Universe and his direction of Avengers Assemble and so on. But where does Firefly sit with respect to yourself in terms of the thing? Were you familiar with it? Would you actually agree that it's one of the best science fiction shows ever to have been cancelled before its time?
Yeah. Well, so I have seen Firefly before, but I never saw it in order. And when I started researching, I now finally got the answer as to why I never got it in order. And that's probably where it lost me, because it was something I remembered I really wanted to enjoy, but this is before or maybe right before TiVo is an option. Or, you know, I was also really young because this show came out in 2002. So I was definitely
a child.
A child. We'll say that. A child. But I always remembered, like, whenever I did catch an episode, I did enjoy it because I remember enjoying the characters. Like, I knew I was already prepared ahead of time with who's my favorite character because that was decided. So I'll hold on. I'll wait. Because it just proved to me why still my favorite character. It was good to know to go through this episode. And I know I have seen the pilot before. It's just been so long, but kind of just echoing what Jenny's saying, the fact that it's a Western and it doesn't, like, it's not shying from being a Western, or it's not trying to be like cute about being Western. He's like, no, this is a Western, get on board. And I'm like, yeah, I'm here for it. Let's do it.
We're just too pretty for God to let us die. Mal Reynolds' inspiring speech to his troops just before they realize that all is lost and the Alliance has won, and clearly there's no hope for the independent outlying planets. Somebody who I think was also experiencing the show for the first time and managed to track it down, not sure which episode she's seen, but hopefully she's seen the right ones, is of course somebody who arguably I thought might have been influenced initially by that opening line in terms of "You can't take the sky from me," which of course come across "Take my love, my melody, take me where I cannot be. You can't take the sky from me." I thought, again, one of the things that might have been behind "The Sky is Falling." But Chloe Rose, welcome back to Residence Rewind. What were your feelings about Firefly?
I really liked it. I mean, I didn't know what to expect. I knew it was sci-fi, and I had a quick look on IMDb sort of thing. And I know, like Kathy was saying, it was 2002, and I was born 1992, so I would have been like quite young at the time when it was out. And but I loved it because it was just so straight away, it was into the action, you know, on the battlefield. And I was thinking, oh God, what's happening here? And at first I'm sort of, well, you know, what's going on? And then obviously then it goes five or seven years later, it goes ahead, and then they're on this big team on this spacecraft, and there's some really nice characters on there. And I'm still learning the names because there's like captain and stuff, but the girl in the background with the pink flowers, I was like, oh my God, when she got shot, I was panicking. I can't think of the name.
Kaylee, the engineer.
Kaylee, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, Kaylee, but honestly, she was great. I really liked her a lot. She was cute.
Yeah, played by Jewel State, of course. Again, several strong female characters in terms of this one. Zoe, of course, who's married to Wash, the co-pilots of the whole thing. Marina Baccarin, of course, much known for a whole heap of things, including the remake of V, portrays Inara. And of course, we have Summer Glau in one of her early roles, before she went into Terminator and all sorts of other magical things, as the sister of the medical Dr. Simon, which we only get a kind of hint about in terms of this opening sequence. And clearly there are lots of areas there. Again, if interested, I'd say see the movie prequel to the series, which is called Serenity, which was released again after the series was made. And of course, the series kind of lives on in a number of key aspects. It's a Western, and it's obviously intertextual in terms of it connects both. We have lines that I've come across indeed online saying Firefly will probably never be replaced as the best show that got cancelled. The chemistry between the actors and actresses was phenomenal. Would you agree with that, Jenny? Do you think it was a phenomenal chemistry, awesome series and soundtrack? The show needed to continue. Loved it to death, but missed it, etc. It's just perfect because it mixed everything that was in a good science fiction show in just the right way. Do you feel 11 episodes, and it was canned effectively, but 14 episodes were what finally were really released on DVD and obviously online?
To be honest, when I started, I had already read that they were planning 7 series, and then they did 14 episodes and they only got to release 11 and it was cancelled. And so I was like watching it and thinking, well, I wonder what's wrong with it, if it was so bad that they got rid of it in the first season. And I was watching it and I was absolutely flabbergasted that it didn't do 7 seasons, because I just think they did it at a sort of a pace where there was plenty of time for the character development and the story developments. And you could see clearly that's what they had for the long-term plan. I think they got a really good set of actors together that really, you know, hit off each other really, really well. And as I say, you forget about the other things that they've done once you start to get involved in the characters themselves. And yeah, mm-hmm. I loved the way they combined the scientific sci-fi future with the fact that we'd sort of gone back like to the like Western times because of the planets being so dry and poor and all the rest of it. And the music, I just thought the music was great. And I did read about how the music had been done where they had different themes for different characters. And so I was quite interested to see how that worked when I was watching it. And I thought it worked really, really well.
And yet it only managed to reach 98 in the old Nielsen ratings in the States. So they decided it wasn't good enough. It had to actually go despite Joss Whedon's success, as we said, with Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel. Kathy, do you echo Jenny's comments? Do you feel as though it was kills too soon? Or is it a case of, well, at least it lives on in books, comic magazines and video games?
I think that's kind of the fun of it, that it's so popular after it canceled. You know, I think that's what makes it so unique in itself. And I don't know how they would do it if they wanted to try to recreate this. I think it would be really difficult and it could potentially ruin the magic. But I think the big people to blame here are the executives. I don't think it's the actors or the script. I think, you know, I think what I am surprised is that the plot for the first episode is so detailed for a pilot. You know, you got a lot of things that are happening. And I mean, it's great for me as an audience member because I want it to be happening that way. And the relationships are great. And exactly as Jenny was saying, they had the time. And if anyone decides to keep on watching Firefly, how I remembered it, it was kind of nice that even though Mal is our captain and he's obviously a very main character, it's not always his focus. I feel like a lot of characters get a lot of screen time and a lot of focus for themselves, and you can really get to know them and kind of figure out what are they thinking or what would they decide or not decide.
There were some lovely dialogue moments, certainly between Kaylee, the engineer, and Shepherd Book, of course, who's the religious pastor, etc. Kaylee, so how come you don't care where you're going? Book replies, because how you get there is the worthier path. And the worthier part from that point of view. And I think there were lots of areas that we came across within that. Chloe, in terms of characters that you connected with, which ones kind of came off the screen for yourself? And was it something which you kind of echo the thoughts of Jenny and Kathy in terms of, we want more, we should have had more of these people?
Yeah, I almost wish I'd have watched it back then, but obviously I was a little kid. If I was older at that point, when it first came out, I feel like I could have really, I don't know, taken advantage of how good the show was, because I feel daft that I didn't, and my fella actually was telling me that he's overheard of it before, and I'm just quite shocked that I've not seen it. But yeah, in terms of the characters, I quite like Captain. I thought he was, you know, good looking. Sorry. Very nice.
Also the voice of Green Lantern in various DC series. And indeed, as Jenny said, was the title character, the lead character in Castle, which is an epic series as well, which features a whole variety of other fine folk too. So Nathan Fillion obviously winning as far as this is concerned. I'd certainly have to say that for me, Jewel State's performance as Kaylee, the engineer, actually wins it. But who knows? Kathy, let's talk characters. Which ones for you stood out? I mean, I'll also say Sheriff Shepherd Book is worthy of note.
Oh, my favorite character is Wash. And I knew he was going to be my favorite when we talked about this because of the line. He's playing with the dinosaur and he goes, "We will rule over this land and we will call it this land." And I was like, yeah, I'm a sucker for Wash. I'm a sucker for his relationship with Zoe. Like, it's... I love him and I'll follow him into anything. And especially his side commentary being like, yeah, I'm the pilot, so I'm the one getting arrested here. Like, which, yeah, fair, true, Wash, you are.
Alan Tudyk, of course, known for Rogue One and many other sort of events, taking on board the role of Hoban Washburn, otherwise known as Wash, as you rightly say, from that point of view. I think it was a nice sort of look at gender politics as well, insofar as the hard man of the crew, Adam Baldwin, portrays a character called Jane, which I think was quite interesting in terms of Jane Cobb, the way that he's sort of portrayed. And again, we see in The Train Job, which again, we can go on to consider elements of that, where effectively he's seen as somebody who isn't a very pleasant character, but in the end ends up rescuing the day. I mean, The Train Job, of course, season one, episode one. This is the second one you saw, Jenny. What were your thoughts on this one? Did it carry on from the pilot? And did you feel as though, yeah, if only they'd screened it in order, it could have actually been given a chance this series?
Well, I do definitely feel that if they've screened it in an order, that it might have had a better chance. Of, like Kathy said, that she watched it originally and was confused. I think, yeah, if I'd watched that episode and then I'd watched the pilot, the real pilot, that I would have been confused. I thought the pilot was a great introduction to the whole scenario. I actually didn't like the train episode as much, but maybe that's because I started watching it. It seemed to be finished like so quickly. And I was like, oh, is that it? Having just watched the other one, which was twice as long. But it just carried on the same. It carried on the same thing. And it started little stories or continued little stories here and there. As I said before, I think that their approach was to develop it quite slowly, thinking that they had 7 seasons to go to develop all the stories. So you just see little snippets of things that you think might develop.
They thought they had 7 seasons, they got 7 hours. It's easily confused on that basis with commercials. The IMDb summary for The Train Job, season 1, episode 1, Mal has second thoughts after discovering that 2 boxes of Alliance goods his crew has been hired to steal are full of badly needed medical supplies headed for the mining town of Paradiso. And I think also that raises the other issue of the kind of problems and challenges that can be faced initially, and this is the sort of resonating aspect of the whole thing, when you see the opening sequence of the first pilot, you almost get a sense of what arguably the Ukraine are facing against the Russians when they're invading, insofar as this hopelessness and the sense of how a thing is going to develop, etc. I did feel that the use and the incorporation of the Chinese language was well put together, because clearly you have a kind of different alliance between different parts of the Earth here that's projected to actually work ahead in what arguably would be the 5 centuries or so from now. So, again, interesting perspectives from there. A number of my students a few years ago when I used to deliver a science fiction module were very keen fans of this series. Now we've reached the stage a bit like Chloe, where basically they weren't around when it was actually there. So it's interesting that it's kind of still existing, and obviously the actors are sort of known from that perspective. But are we seeing something here where it's a series which you say, yeah, Joss Whedon is on the game here? Do you feel it's unfortunate? Why do you think it was cancelled, Chloe? Was it just against the poor ratings? Would you have cancelled it?
I don't think I'd have cancelled it. I did think its initial, what I've seen, I thought was good. I just feel I needed to see more. And I think for 2002, I even thought the effects were good. Obviously now the special effects and stuff would be much more, you know, that's something they could really work on. But I don't know, I wouldn't have cancelled it. I think the actors were brilliant, and it's a shame they didn't spend more time doing the next season, you know, the next season, but that's my opinion on it anyway.
Averaged 4.6 million viewers per episode these days. You'd say that was very good. 96 in the Nielsen ratings. Cancelled, as we said, after 11 of the 14 produced episodes were aired. But it did receive strong sales when it was released on DVD. It has large fan support campaigns and indeed was a Primetime Emmy Award winner in 2003 for Outstanding Special Visual Effects for a Series. TV Guide ranked the series at number 5 on their 2013 list of 60 shows that were cancelled too soon. So let's go around the whole notion of characters once again. Jenny, who would be your favourite character?
I really liked Kaylee. And I really like Kaylee. And the other thing, I thought that the actor that played the Jane character, Mr. Baldwin, I thought he played that really well, because he's like this sort of not very pleasant, really dumb guy, but he didn't make it a kind of a caricature of a role. I actually thought he played the role really well with some sort of heart in it. But at the end of the day, and this is really weird because I can't stand Richard Carceller. He's like irritating. And as I say, when I knew he was going to be like the same actor was going to be the lead in this, I thought, oh, God.
But Nathan Fillion, the voice of Green Lantern.
But I thought he was brilliant. I thought he was really brilliant. And I thought he held the whole thing together so well. And also that you see a little bit of how he comes across as this like total bad guy that doesn't care about anybody. But then you actually see that he has got a soul and he has got a moral standard, because all the threats, he doesn't really go through with them. And then there's this, you know, he obviously keeps himself aloof, but he has some feelings for the prostitute lady. I can't remember
the
her
ambassador
name.
The ambassador
Inara.
The companion. You know, but he keeps himself distant, and he's like really cares about all the crew, but he always tries to keep himself that little bit distant, the way somebody that's a sort of a leader would. So I think he plays that very well, and I just think dialogue wise he holds it together really well.
So, Kathy, do you feel as somebody from the South, the Deep South, that the allusion, which I think is fairly explicit, to obviously the brown coats being the Confederates as opposed to the Unionists, and obviously having that sense of decency and still actually attempting to do the decent thing, you'll come back now, etc. Do you think that actually works on this one, or do you feel as though that was a step too far for Joss Whedon?
No, I mean, it's like I said, he wasn't trying to hide anything, you know, before, you know, it is a Western. And just because it's Western doesn't mean there isn't the Southern drawl that you're going to hear from our characters. Many different drawls, which I appreciated. But I think it's, I don't think they stretched anything. I think that even the dialogue was pretty clever. I mean, when he says, what was the line? You didn't pay me to talk pretty. I was like, it's exactly what someone would. I was just waiting for someone to be like, the bigger the hair, the closer to Jesus one moment. But, you know, we don't know if Jesus is in this world. So I guess we got to wait in this verse, excuse me. but I say, why not? It works with it. I mean, it's already, I think it also helps, like, whenever you put something like that in a show, it humanizes, you know, culture a little bit. You know, it's not just like a costume. It's not just a show, although this is a show. Yeah, sure. But like, it's very much about culture, and you're incorporating it and you're seeing how people get on, and there's a certain hierarchy with it. I mean, I was really impressed when they made Inara's character, you know, the companion, because I mean, that's exactly what would be happening and is happening, still happens. If anything, I think that was a great way to be like, just so you know, longest profession, it would be involved regardless of the century we're in. So I think, yeah, accept it.
We haven't talked about the character Badger, played by W. Morgan Shepherd, known, of course, for his roles in Doctor Who and a whole heap of other things, etc. And his line, of course, crime and politics, little girl, the situation is always fluid. Did you feel that Badger worked well? I mean, there were kind of two villains, really, in the pilot. We had Badger, and then, of course, we had double-crossing, slightly grandmama, character who basically sort of wanted to, effectively, she got her come up and uppance as well. Do you feel that worked well, or could it almost have been taken out of a sort of element of Westworld, given that a lot of people said science fiction is our contemporary Western, that actually a lot of science, I mean, Star Wars is a Western in space, and Westworld obviously is Western, etc. Star Trek was Wagon Train to the Stars. Do you feel the villains were well rounded in their own way? Chloe.
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't realise you were meaning me. Yeah, I think that was well-rounded. I don't really know what I'd say more with the villains. I don't think they stood out as like a bad, bad villain like you'd imagine in like Marvel, I guess. But yeah, I think it was good.
I was intrigued you mentioned Marvel because, of course, Joss Whedon effectively restored his career thanks to Avengers Assemble. And he still had one or two issues, and arguably there are still various other lines that come across within that. Finally, Jenny, any concluding sort of lines before we go for the scores on this particular one? Anything that we've discussed or haven't discussed that you think, yeah, what about the character of Zoe? Wasn't she a fine sort of second in command to actually be there, and how we were connecting within that?
Funnily enough, I actually thought Zoe was one of the less maybe rounded characters. She didn't seem to have quite anything, I suppose, anything special about her. That sounds awful because she was a great fighter and everything. But as a personality, to me, she was the one that least sort of made an impression, really, as an actual personality. Obviously, she had a great role to play with the fighting and supporting the captain. But no, all round, when I was thinking about it afterwards, I was thinking, I can't really think of anything very negative to say about the programme at all. She's quite unusual for me.
Well, clearly the absence of Robin Pierce is meaning that more positivity and light is actually coming through Resonance Rewind, which is not a bad thing. Sorry, Robin. Talking about villains, of course, we never see them, but we do actually kind of get the sense of the evilness of the Reavers that are actually out there, that you don't want to mess with the Reavers at all. And even the name Reavers has this essence of what certainly in the border country in Britain used to terrorise citizens of the north of England because of the borderline Scots, etc., who are also known as the Reavers, and they would rape and pillage the sort of outlying counties of Northumbria and so on. So not sure where that's connected there. And we should also mention, certainly for the train job episode, Michael Fairman's character of Nishka, which again, when he actually sort of demonstrates how he actually deals with being double-crossed to Captain Reynolds and Zoe, when they actually show the sequence of the humans hung like slabs of meat. But I think that was not necessarily pleasant, really. But if you haven't seen the train job, obviously that's a little sort of heads up for that, which is coming through there. And finally, Zoe, Chloe. Music. I mean, again, I talked about initially, and obviously you hadn't because you were too young to remember it, that The Sky is Falling, I felt, might have been inspired by the theme from Firefly. What did you make of the musical choices?
Yeah, I thought the music-wise, for the actual show, I thought it was great. I loved it. Especially the battlefield part, it got me straight into it. I was like, oh gosh, what's happening? And, you know, it builds that tension, doesn't it? So I really enjoyed it. But yeah, Sky is Falling would work for that. I agree.
Okay. Well, I think we've identified all our favourite characters. Chloe, are you sticking with, did you have a favourite character, Chloe?
Well, I would say Kaylee, to be honest, and but I did like the captain, so I'd say a mixture between both of those for me.
Okay, Kathy, you're definitely going for Wash.
Yeah,
the pilot that's in there again, playing with dinosaurs and the land, which we will call this land. And Jenny, you're going for Nathan Fillion. As Captain Mal Reynolds. Extraordinary. There you go. So let's go around for the scores then. Jenny, it'll come to you first. What's your score for what you've seen in Firefly? My word, a 10 for Jenny Bill. Chloe Rose, what's your score?
I give a 9.5. I just need more time with it. I need to see more. That's not against the show. That's me.
This is the thing about Resonance Rewind, you see. You have Warehouse 13 to look through. You've got Kenneth Johnson's output.
That's great.
All the key things there. You see, Jenny, if you'd only had a chance to actually connect with Eddie when he joined us on the show a few weeks ago, your whole perception would have changed. He had the Incredible Hulk as a backdrop behind him. It was, quite frankly, awesome. So there we are. Good stuff there. And Kathy, your score for Firefly?
I'm giving it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I think I'll go 9 out of 10 as well. Not that I'm sort of going curmudgeonly on this, but I feel that was where it kind of sits in the whole thing. Next week, we spoke about Kenneth Johnson, obviously, with The Incredible Hulk and Married. We've got another Kenneth Johnson production next week. It's another series which was cancelled after only one season, based on an original motion picture called Alien Nation. We explore what happens when the Tanktonese actually turn up in Los Angeles and how they are integrated into society back in the 1980s. In our next edition of Resonance Rewind, for the moment, though, to Chloe Rose, Kathy Manso, and Jenny Bill, keep on resonating.
What are we doing?
Oh, crime.
Crime? Good.
Malcolm Reynolds, you have reputation.
You're a coward and a piss pot.
We got word you might have a job for us.
Oh, a train job.
We fly over the train car, the captain and Zoe sneak in, we lower Jane onto the car, and they bundle up the booty, and we haul them all back up. Easy as a lion.
Time for some thrilling heroics.
I'll never stop. They'll just keep coming until they get back what you took.
These are stone killers, little man. They ain't cuddly like me.
You can't just leave the captain and Zoe here.
They ain't coming. We can't walk in there and get them, so they're done.
Now what are you gonna do about it?
Nothing. I just want you to face me so she could get behind you.
This job I would pull for free.
And can I have your share?
No.
If you die, can I have your share?
Yes.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. But you can't take the sky from me.
Thank you.